a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports. The Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com.
Afternoon delight.
How about hour number two on a Tuesday? Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling on his way back from Big 12 Media Days. We got Brian Fitzgerald producing today. Charles Amenihue, our summer intern, is here today, hanging out, doing his great work as always, helping us get the podcast up, helping us do all kinds of stuff. He was not answering questions from the media today, but four of his teammates were. His head coach was. And we've definitely talked some Big 12 media days. We'll continue to do that. We're going to grab all of our guys today that were there. We already talked with Brad Kellner. We're going to talk with Rod coming up this hour. Aaron and Trey next hour. Bucky Godbolt in the 6 o'clock hour. Just get their general thoughts on kind of what they heard. But coming up, we're going to get a little baseball conversation in. Brian was able to grab a guy named Tyler Maughan from MILB.com. Great baseball conversation coming up here after last night's home run derby and tonight's All-Star game. You said it earlier. I'm not sure you could have gotten any more out of that derby last night.
No. And there's only so much you can get, but no. You couldn't have got any more out of that. And there's, it was a lot of fun. That's what it should be. That's what I kept on saying. It needs to be fun. That was fun.
It was definitely fun. Let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and bring in Tyler Maughan. Tyler, how are you?
Guys, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Man, we're doing great. I was just saying, I don't know if you could have scripted a better home run derby. Not just that Harper wins it, but the way that all played out last night. I thought it was fantastic theater in obviously what's a slow day in sports and in baseball, but I loved it. What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it. And I think what it did was it kind of, you know, hopefully shut up the people that can only talk about, well, how do you fix a home run derby? Is the home run derby interesting? Is the home run derby cool at all? I mean, I don't think there's anything that could have gone better about that. And I also think it highlighted what's good about what they have changed with the home run derby, because that thing is not that exciting if not for the time requirement. The fact that there was a clock ticking down, the fact that he had to do it in the last 45 seconds, whatever it was, that's what made it so great. So I think it was really as good as it could have been for them.
Tyler, what about the All-Star game tonight, assuming they can play it? Are you glad that there's not a World Series home field advantage at stake?
Yes, I am. I think that's a very good move. It's, you know, I guess at the time, after the tie in Milwaukee and all that type of stuff, if you wanted to do something to make it seem like the All-Star game had some value, that was the point behind it. But it was an outdated idea that was a bad idea at the time. The fact that now it's just back to being an exhibition and it's back to, you know, showcasing the best of your game, that's what the All-Star game should have been all along. And I think not only is it something that fans enjoy more because there isn't something artificial that's awarded for the biggest stage of the game's entire season and narrative from the All-Star game, but also I think the players enjoy it more because they feel like it's something where you don't have to go in thinking, well, if I screw up in this situation 3 months down the road, some team could be screwed because of that. So I think it's definitely benefited baseball to remove that aspect of it.
Well, and Tyler, it used to be about just plain pride. When I was growing up, there was a ton of guys with the pride. There's the Pete Rose moment everybody points to. And then recently, I can think of Ichiro, a guy that said would give a big impassioned speech on the AL side every year. Do we have a sense that there are some key guys on either side of this thing that really do care? Like they go into this thinking, hey, you know what? Let's get this for the National League.
You know, I think it's one of those situations where all that stuff doesn't seem to come out until the week of the game or the day of the game. I mean, I'm at least somewhat old enough to remember the pre-interleague era of Major League Baseball, where it did feel like you kind of talked about that league pride thing more often going into the All-Star break than you did at any other point during the season, other than the World Series. Now, because of interleague play, it doesn't seem like it comes up in conversation that much until you actually get there. And then it does seem like you get these guys on either side who are just absurd levels of competitiveness who want to make sure that they get the job done for their league. I'm based in Denver. I think one of the guys here who is probably, if not the emotional leader, one of the emotional leaders for the National League team is Nolan Arenado, just because he's such an intense firebrand type of guy when he's on the field. But it has removed, I think, some of that luster, the fact that these guys see each other relatively often since interleague play has now turned into a round-the-year thing, round-the-calendar thing. But it's still a neat aspect. I mean, I still, every year when I turn on the All-Star game, the 8-year-old kid in me still gets excited seeing all those different uniforms on the field at the same time. I still think that's awesome. The player introductions are cool. It's just it's still such a fun event. And to have it, you know, like you said, in a dead part of the sports calendar is really cool, too.
Tyler, for me, there's no doubt the Futures game is something that's underrated. I mean, if you want to look at it compared to some of the other three sports, major sports, you've got guys that are really, really ready to play and maybe already should have been playing, yet I don't feel like it's highlighted the way it should be. Is there a way to make that more seen?
I think that's a great point. I think Major League Baseball has done itself somewhat of a disservice by putting that game on MLB Network and kind of giving it the aura of being a niche event because, like you said, I mean, these are guys who are going to be the stars of next year. I mean, there was a picture that was up on Instagram this week from Jose Barrios of the Minnesota Twins, of him and Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor. All three of those guys are all-stars this year. They all played in the All-Star game, in the All-Star Futures game, I think 4 years ago, something like that. So, I mean, these guys who are in the Futures game right now, they're on the doorstep. They're the guys who you're going to be talking about as Major League All-Stars within the next few years. Major League Baseball, I think, would do itself a lot of good to promote that game more and more, maybe not as an equal to the All-Star game, but certainly as an equal to the Home Run Derby. I mean, the fact that the Home Run Derby gets all the pub that it does, and it gets the ESPN national TV audience, and it gets kind of that aura built up around it, they should be doing that with a Futures game because baseball has struggled to pull in younger fans, and what better to pull in younger fans than showcasing 18, 19, 20-year-old guys who are going to be front and center as the faces of the sport within the next few years. But I do think the baseball is realizing that over the last few seasons. They've gotten better about promoting the Futures game, promoting the prospects on Futures game rosters. Maybe it hasn't come quite as quickly as a lot of us would like, but with the growing obsession that people have with prospects and with minor leaguers and talent that comes up and, you know, fantasy leagues where you can stash guys for a few seasons throughout their minor league careers, I think baseball has slowly come around to the fact that, yeah, we should probably promote this product a little bit more, which is very beneficial.
It should definitely at least be on ESPN over the Celebrity All-Star game. I mean, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it should be over that. I watched it and just some amazing talent, Hunter Green throwing 102, then that getting turned around. Who are some of the guys who stood out for you?
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Green is really, he is a generational type of guy and has really started to get it figured out over the last few weeks, which is good. He kind of struggled at the start of the season, being in full season ball for the first time after being a draft selection last year. But he is, I mean, a freakish talent. I talked to him at spring training this year in Arizona, and, you know, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 17 years old and the discussion of whether or not he could be a two-way player. And I asked him about, you know, Shohei Ohtani and Brendan McKay, who was the Louisville Cardinals product last year, was the first baseman and pitcher and went in the first round of the draft. And Hunter Green told me, you know, I like that conversation. I like that there are other two-way guys, but I also don't think it applies to me because they play first base or they play in the outfield. That's not as challenging as what I do because Hunter Green was a shortstop, and he hasn't been a shortstop professionally, but he feels like he could do that. And I think to have somebody who is not just that transcendent of a talent, but to have somebody who has that confidence in himself is so well-spoken, is so personable, and is so effusive in the type of person that he is. That's the type of guy that you want to build the sport around. There is some really, really good talent on both of those rosters. On the world team, Jesus Luzardo, who's a pitcher in the Oakland Athletics organization, is 19 years old. We had him on MILB.com this year as being one of our aggressive opening day assignments at Class A Advanced because he was only 19. I think he made 5 starts there, and they bumped him up to Double A, and he's been fantastic at Double A so far this year. Brendan Rodgers, who is a shortstop in the Colorado Rockies organization, just does it all. I don't know if his long-term future is a shortstop. I think it is. There are a lot of people who think range-wise he might be limited to third base or move somewhere else in the infield. But not only is he a terrific shortstop, but he hits with power. He can hit for average. Just one of those guys you really feel like is probably going to be a mainstay at that position for a while if he sticks at shortstop. That's the Futures game is one of my favorite moments every year because it is really, really fun. One name, maybe my favorite prospect, in that game is a guy who's actually playing in Texas right now in San Antonio, and that's Fernando Tatis Jr., who is shortstop for San Diego Padres organization. And kind of similarly to Jesus Luzardo, 19 years old, has done nothing but dominate everywhere that he's gone. He actually skipped over Class A advance, went straight to Double A this year, struggled in April, and then has just dominated Double A since May, really the start of May. I think he's been hitting 350, something like that, which at 19 is unbelievable. I mean, that's not something that you often see done, especially on a regular basis, a guy who's going day in and day out as a starter. But those rosters were loaded this year. That was a really, really fun collection of talent.
Talking with Tyler Maughan, check out MILB.com. He's also on Twitter, at Tyler Maughan. That's M-A-U-N. Tyler, you mentioned the 8-year-old fan inside you likes so many things about Home Run Derby, All-Star Game, and all that. So who does that kid want to see play tonight? Is there a matchup? Is there a pitching-hitting matchup? Is there one particular player that you're really interested in seeing tonight?
You know, Mike Trout is always the guy. I think even being based in the Mountain Time Zone, I get to see Mike Trout more often than most people, you know, out on the East Coast do, and that's always what the conversation drifts to when it's these players put on a national stage as well. Who's going to get the exposure? Mike Trout, I don't think people realize just how brilliant of a singular talent Mike Trout is. He's on pace right now for basically the single greatest overall season in Major League Baseball history. I mean, a better season than Willie Mays ever put together or Mickey Mantle ever put together. I mean, his wins above replacement trajectory right now is obscene. And just the fact that he's able to do everything, you know, he's a great hitter, you know, he's fast, all that, but he also plays tremendous defense. He can steal bases. The way he runs the bases is incredible. He can hit home runs. He hits for average. So he's definitely one guy. And, you know, I mean, on the pitching side, I'm certainly of the new school in baseball. I love the fact that pitchers are getting strikeouts and throwing 103. I don't think that's a knock on the game at all. And I know that the old school baseball crowd has started to come out and say, well, baseball has become boring now because it's just the three true outcomes of strikeouts, walks, and home runs. Well, I mean, people love seeing home runs and people love seeing strikeouts, so I don't really see what the knock is on that. So, I mean, whether it's Justin Verlander or Steven Strasburg or some of these dudes that go out there and are pumping 103, that's fun. I'm excited to see that. And especially because in the All-Star game, you get to see those guys in such limited bursts that they can really reach back and go for it velocity-wise, and that's pretty fun to watch, too.
You mentioned Tatis Jr. skipping A-ball, and we had talked about Cody Clemens, how he skipped low A-ball. I mean, that's one of the great things about the feeder system in baseball. There are a lot of different levels you have to get up. Were you surprised that Juan Soto skipped as many levels and as many games and has been able to do what he's done in Washington?
Yes, extremely surprised. We actually, on the Minor League Baseball podcast, we talked about when he got promoted out of Class A advanced to Double A, he had stayed such a short time in Class A advanced that we thought, well, that's kind of crazy. I'm sure he'll stick out the rest of the season in Double A. And then I think he played 5 games in Double A and was off the major leagues and skipped over Triple A entirely. I mean, it's not often that you see a guy go up over one of the kind of weed out levels like Class A advanced or Double A and even stick at Double A or Triple A and make it work for a substantial stretch of the season. But to just leap over Triple A entirely and have barely even sniffed Double A on your way to the majors and then blow up at the major league level is incredible. And I think we knew that Juan Soto was going to be good, but I don't think anybody knew he was going to be this good this fast. And that's what's been so impressive about him. And, you know, Nationals have just churned out guys like that. Bryce obviously is the one that comes to mind most, but they've had a lot of that young talent. Even Trey Turner, who was a guy they didn't draft, but Trey Turner climbed through that system really quickly. And granted, he was a college guy versus being a high school pick, but it's really amazing the way that some of the guys who have that really quick road to the major leagues through that system, the Nationals are really good at identifying those prospects and just kind of getting out of the way and letting them carve their own track to the majors. But Juan Soto is really, he came on and surprised, I think, virtually everybody. I think if there are people outside of the Nationals organization who thought, yeah, I saw this coming, I can't imagine they're being truthful about that with Juan
no,
Soto.
No, they're lying.
Tyler, I feel like I wouldn't be doing my job today if we had a guy like you on and I didn't ask you about Manny Machado. Machado to the Dodgers, is that what you're hearing?
You know, I've heard the Dodgers, I've heard the Philadelphia Phillies as well. I think the Phillies are better positioned to make a deal because the Phillies have a lot more talent in the minor leagues right now, and that's what the Orioles need to focus on. The Dodgers do have some pieces that are somewhat intriguing. Alex Verdugo, who's a top prospect in that system right now, is in Oklahoma City in the Pacific Coast League. Verdugo's great. I think he probably profiles better for an American League team, being somebody who's somewhat blocked at his position in Los Angeles and with already a loaded Major League roster. Maybe in Baltimore, he would find a little bit better fit. But I do think that the Phillies just have more available, and that's what ultimately the Orioles have to be looking for. I mean, the Orioles right now are historically bad, and to pull in one or two prospects for Manny Machado is not going to get the job done. This has to be a generational type of deal for the Orioles because they're trading away a generational type of player. I saw Manny Machado in high A ball when he was 19 years old, and he was the type of guy who just looked like if you place him in a major league lineup that day, he'd probably be a replacement level major leaguer at 19. I mean, he's been that good his entire career. And when you are somebody in a circumstance like the Orioles are right now, you cannot afford to miss on this deal. So you have to be able to haul in as much talent as possible and cast as wide of a prospect net as possible. Because if you trade Manny Machado away for one major league player and a couple of prospects, and the major league guy doesn't give you anything and the prospects flame out, then you've given away the best player that your organization has developed in the last 20 years for nothing. And the Orioles right now, I think, are 39 games back of first place at the All-Star break, something like that. They cannot afford to miss on this, which is why I think, as of right now, I would say the Phillies are better positioned. I think the Milwaukee Brewers are relatively well positioned, too, because of what they've got in the system. But, you know, I mean, the Dodgers are the type of team that they'll throw out the money and all the talent that they can to acquire a guy and then figure out where he fits later. And, you know, it's served them well up to this point. So it's this sweepstakes is going to be interesting. Wherever he lands, somebody's going to be giving up a lot to get him.
And then hope you can re-sign him, obviously. The clock's ticking. Yeah. It's kind of a weird leverage thing on both sides. But interesting stuff there. Obviously, you can only imagine Astros fans how excited they are in this area after last year and the run they've had in the first half. Kyle Tucker got called up. What do you know about him? How can he help? And also, is there a chance Forrest Whitley gets called up this season?
Yeah, I think there is. And Forrest Whitley is an interesting case, and I'll take him first. Whitley was suspended out of the start of the season for a drug of abuse and a 50-game suspension, in which you really kind of thought it didn't seem like something that was going to throw off his development too much because he was already so advanced. And when he got back, I mean, it seemed like he hadn't missed any time at all. I think his ceiling is so high that it wouldn't surprise me right now if they called him up to give that pitching staff a shot in the arm. But the Astros are also so deep, they don't really need to, and that's kind of the luxury about where the Astros are. If you've got a pitching talent like Forrest Whitley and you can afford to be patient with him, then be patient with him, because I think that ultimately serves him better, especially having missed really the first half of the season. Kyle Tucker is as good as it gets in the minor leagues. One of those guys as well, you know, like some of these other dudes that we've talked about, whether it's Juan Soto or Fernando Tatis Jr., every level he's been at, he has dominated and was terrific with Triple A Fresno so far this season, and just didn't really need a whole lot of finishing. I think that was kind of the test for Kyle Tucker, was he going to be able to handle pitching at the highest level of the minor leagues? And when that was proven, there's not really much left for him to prove. And so for him to get up there, you know, he's relatively versatile in terms of what he can do defensively, and you can kind of plug him in anywhere in the lineup, which is good for the Astros because they've already got such a loaded lineup 1 through 9. But he is a really, really fun talent, really fun player to watch, and just a really good kid, too. I've talked to him a couple times, just understated, kind of quiet, a humble guy. Preston Tucker, Astros fans remember his older brother. You know, just a guy who comes from a baseball family and really seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders, and somebody who I think will fit really well into that clubhouse and into what they've created there in Houston. So he's definitely one to be excited about. That, you know, I mean, people kind of that Sports Illustrated cover that came up so much last year when the Astros won the World Series from 2014, predicting that World Series title. But if you were watching what the Astros were building for the last few years, last year was in zero way unexpected. I mean, that was the best system construction that I think I've seen since I started working in minor league baseball 10 years ago. And the thing about the Astros is they've still got a lot of talent in the system right now. That's what's so crazy, to still have somebody like Kyle Tucker, to still have a Forrest Whitley, and some of these other guys who, you know, you see at the minor league level, you see in AAA for the Astros, they'd be starters on major league rosters elsewhere. I mean, Tony Kemp is the perfect example, who's been up this season, I know, in Houston, but has spent a lot of time in Fresno. Tony Kemp is a guy who would start on 25 major league teams, but he's been in Fresno for the majority of the last couple of seasons because Houston's got so much talent at the major league level, he hasn't been able to grab a starting spot. That's what they've done there. They've just stockpiled so much and so much depth that, I mean, it's not that this is a short window for them. They got a long time to be riding this out in Houston, which is pretty exciting for Astros fans.
All right, so Tyler, if you're putting your money on it in Vegas for that World Series champion here halfway through All-Star break time, are you going with the Astros and that group to go back-to-back, or is it a Boston, or is there somebody else that you like?
You know, that's what's so scary. If the Astros were in the National League right now, I think they are hands down the favorite to make it back. But the fact that they're going to have to, it looks like right now, go through Boston or New York in some form or fashion. I mean, the Astros could be, you know, well the team that gets the home field advantage for whatever series they match up with one of those teams. That's dicey. I do think if I had to pick, I do think I would pick the Astros to make it back out of the American League just because I love the depth in that pitching rotation so much. And the fact that they've been there. I mean, this is a team that kind of gets it after last season. And as much as we talk about how scary the New York Yankees are or the Boston Red Sox, those teams for the last few seasons haven't really been factors the way the Astros have been. So, I don't know. There's just something about that team in Houston. And I think especially the way they're going to have to fight it out the rest of the season with the Angels and even the A's who have played better and the Mariners who have been so surprisingly good this year. I think when you've been playing in a division that is that competitive, that benefits you once you get to the playoffs. That team is going to be as scary as they've ever been once October comes around. So it would not surprise me at all to see them make it back and win it again.
Tyler, how sick is Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
That kid is as good of a talent as I've ever seen in the minor leagues.
Wow.
And he is right now, I think, had he not been hurt, we would have seen him in Toronto already. The injury came at such an unfortunate time for him because he was doing everything right. You know, was hitting over 400, was playing in the field and getting better every day. I actually did a story for MILB on, you know, what could possibly be holding him down in Double A. And, you know, basically the only things I got, I talked with other Eastern League managers and coaches and players, and they said, yeah, I mean, from time to time, his footwork at third base is a little rough, but, like, that's about all. Like, other than that, he's pretty much a major league talent. He really is a generational type of guy. I mean, we talk about somebody like Manny Machado or Nolan Arenado. Defensively, he's not where they are, but offensively, I think he's better when he eventually hits a ceiling. He just does everything. He's got more walks than strikeouts this season, which is incredible, through 60 games or whatever he played to start the year. So it's not that he's a feast or famine type of guy. I mean, he knows how to get on base. He knows how to hit for power. And I think it's great for him and it's great for the Blue Jays that he's in an American League system, because if it does end up that he is not an everyday type of defensive guy, you've got the option to make him a designated hitter on days when you don't need him in the field. And to keep that bat in the lineup every single day is as valuable as anything is going to be for the next 10 years of Major League Baseball. So he's back now. He started a rehab assignment this week down in the rookie-level Gulf Coast League. He was bumped up to Class A Advanced, I think, today. So he'll play a couple games there. And then from what we've heard, he's going to go right to AAA. He's going to jump over AA New Hampshire, where he started the season. He'll go to AAA Buffalo. And I would think if he gets off to a hot start in Buffalo, we'll probably see him in Toronto before too long, which is pretty amazing. Because, wow, you know, to be 19, 20 years old and already be knocking on the door, especially coming off of an injury, shows you how highly regarded he is.
That's amazing.
Gonna make a note on
that. Yeah, so you better make a note there, fantasy owner. That is Tyler Maughan. Check out MILB.com and at Tyler Maughan on Twitter. Tyler, great stuff. Enjoy the All-Star game tonight. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, guys, you do the same. Thank you.
Thanks, Tyler.
Great stuff there. All-Star.
Thank you, Chad.
No problem. That was awesome. Thank Brian for that.
Yeah,
one.
Thanks, Brian.
Great get from Brian Fitzgerald, our producer there.
His pants back on.
Some great baseball stuff. All-Star game is tonight, 7 o'clock on Fox. It is Scherzer against Sale as that first pitching matchup, and then the talent rolls from there. And if you're just jumping in, we haven't mentioned it a lot, but the rumors are that Manny Machado, a deal may already be in place with the Orioles. They're just trying to figure out details. Dodgers, the Phillies, you heard Tyler mention, Milwaukee, Arizona have all been talked about, but over the last hour or so, it feels like this could be the Dodgers guy.
One guy's reporting, if it doesn't hit a snag, I'll find out who that was, a baseball guy I've seen before, but is reporting that if it doesn't hit a snag, that, yeah, it's pretty much a done deal with the Dodgers. Doesn't surprise me. They can be able to move some money around. Be curious to see if Seager would be in that deal. Couple things that I've talked about too with Philadelphia, the whole Phillies brass are guys that that knew Machado, drafted Machado. He's comfortable with them. He likes them.
That's a good point. I read that today, too. There's connection.
There's a positive connection where he really likes them, would feel comfortable there.
They helped to grow him.
Helped to grow him. And I think it could be one of those two. Machado, with his metrics, is the worst shortstop in baseball right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The worst fielding shortstop?
Fielding shortstop. Now, a lot of that is what you can and can't get to, so that may not be fielding percentage or errors.
Right.
But, you know, I just wonder how much, if I'm going to pay him that much. Look, you're a third baseman, man. Okay, is that okay? Especially if you're the Dodgers, if you could keep Seager at short and move Machado to third, his better position. Or is he going to be able to hold enough leverage and say, no, I want to play shortstop?
Interesting. Manny Machado may...
You know, Timmy, your dad is the coach, so I guess you will.
Yeah, may very well be on the move. All I know is he's incredible at third. I've never seen him play short, but he is out of this world.
I'm impressed with him at short because at his size, getting around, but I see what the metrics are probably saying. He's not getting to enough stuff, and he's phenomenal at third.
Yeah, right.
He is great. I mean, Arenado may be the only one I can think of defensively who's better at third.
All right, we got more football talk coming up here. But first, since we're talking about the All-Star game, here's Trey Elling to tell you how you can improve your All-Star game or football or anything else you're watching. Pay attention.
This is Trey Elling for Audio Visual Consultations. It was several months ago now that I had Tom McKay and Audio Visual Consultations come over to my place. I had a failed attempt at setting up a TV and entertainment system on my own. Unfortunately, I purchased the television and the sound system without realizing that Tom McKay and Audio Visual Consultations can get all of those things at or cheaper the same price that you would buy them online. Regardless, they talked to me about what it was that we were hoping to accomplish with Audio Visual Consultations. Then they came up with a custom setup, and it fit our needs. They can do the same thing for you as well. Just go to avconsultations.com, check out the photo gallery of great work they've done here in Central Texas for 30 years. Also, look at the listing of services. Once you figure out what it is you want for your home or place of business, then you'll give Tom McKay a call. They'll come over, they'll create that custom setup, and the job will be done perfectly. Tom McKay, Audio Visual Consultations, avconsultations.com.
All right, coming up, more thoughts on the Big 12 Media Days today in the Big 3. Rod Babers will join us just like he did yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on day 2, Tom Herman, and the fact that Herman says he has not made a decision on who's going to call offensive plays. That is coming up on The Horn. That's what I thought. That's where I thought he was going.
I guessed wrong. I thought this would be tougher.
This isn't as quite as heavy as you thought it was going to be. I'm not sure if you remember this band. Do you remember a song called Epic back in the day?
No.
The band would be Faith No More.
Okay, I've heard of them.
Right. Faith No More. I kind of dug Faith No More.
What else did they have that I would have known?
Epic is the one you'd know.
But you probably don't know it by its name. It's not like Epic is in the chorus or they sing it.
Let me sing it for you. You want it all, but you can't have it. That song.
Definitely would have been in a couple commercials, if I believe.
That probably did put that in some commercials.
Probably
over
not
the
like a rock-esque, but...
No, it wasn't that much. It was not that much.
I saw them open for the Guns N' Roses and Metallica.
Yeah, I remember that show.
That sounds like a good show.
They were Faith No More is hands down the best of the three.
Really?
You thought? Yeah. It was weird. In the Dallas show that I didn't go to, but friends went to, Faith No More got booed off the stage. And I always thought that was kind of weird. All three bands at that point were, I thought, really good. And, you know. Just,
different audience.
Yeah, just different audience. Sometimes didn't like that opening band. Speaking of bands, check out Coke Fest. Our sister station's throwing together 2 days of great music. Aaron Watson, Whiskey Myers, Coe Wetzel, Josh Abbott Band, Mark Chestnut, and more. Go to CokeFest.com. Buy your tickets before they sell out. They're going to have lots of food, vendors, 8 bars, and plenty of other drinking options to choose from. So
it's going to be fun.
Check it out.
Josh Abbott Band. He's a tech guy, isn't he?
I do not know.
Could have swore maybe you saw them in college.
You might be right. I don't know a ton about the Josh Abbott Band, but I know they're very popular.
Yeah.
Very popular. A lot of big names are going to be at Coke Fest once again. All right, let's get into the Big 3 here. We're going to grab Rod Babers and talk some Big 12 Media Days right around the corner.
The Big 3
Brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter. It's 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com. We're going to grab Rod here in a second and talk Big 12 Media Days. It was day two. Tom Herman took to the media as well as West Virginia, Baylor, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. So we'll cover the other stuff real quick. All-Star game tonight on Fox. The Manny Machado deal could be in place, like we said, right now it's sounding like the Dodgers might be the team in the lead there. If you're a Spurs fan, here's your NBA news of the day. Kawhi Leonard may go to the U.S. national team minicamp. That's next week in Vegas. I wouldn't get too excited. They're still saying he doesn't want to go to San Antonio, but this is an idea of maybe he'll show up to show everybody, including the teams that may want him, that he's healthy.
Mm. Didn't Pop the coach?
Yes, he is. I was going to say, the extra drama is that Pop is the head coach of that team.
Wow.
Also, for you Cowboys fans, you may have seen today, hold your breath, Randy Gregory has been reinstated on a conditional basis by the NFL. Missed all of last year, missed 14 games in 2016. They say Randy Gregory has been through all kinds of stuff, rehab and therapy. And
good for him, then.
Trying to get it all right, trying to get it all going the right way. We'll see if the Cowboys actually start to get something out of Randy Gregory. It was a low-risk thing at the beginning, but he's not giving them much, so we'll see if they get anything out of him now.
Seems to be talent there, though.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, it could be if he gets it all straight.
And they need that with Irving out the first four games.
They do. As we go to the Vaqueros Cafina and Cantina Cafe and Cantina Hotline here, I'm looking at a picture. Let me see. Here it is. Okay. We get Rod on.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the picture that Rod tweeted out today? Because the Big 12 director of officiating, Greg Burks, said that players have to have their knees covered and jerseys pulled down to the waist during games.
What?
Yeah, look at this, dude.
Their knees covered.
This is a Rod Babers picture from practice. That is my boy right there.
Oh, that is a great picture, Rod.
Rod, man, what were you thinking with that? I love it.
Oh man, that's my Sex Panther days, man. That's when honestly, I gotta say, at that time, me and Lance Armstrong probably had the best abs in Austin, and we know now that Lance's were manufactured. You know what I mean? So mine was real.
Wow.
The best abs in the 512, man, back then.
You had some serious abs, and Lance didn't have that fro working either.
No, but yeah, I don't understand what the Big 12 is. The Big 12 is worried about the wrong thing. They're almost like the NFL now, right?
Yep.
They're worried about the wrong thing. They got much bigger issues that are plaguing the Big 12 right now, but yet they're worried about guys covering their knees and jerseys being pulled down to the waist.
That is so bizarre. So I'm just trying to work it out in my brain. What is that? Like I got in school back in the day, Rod.
It's the J.J. Stokes rule.
Like when they did the dress code in school for girls, I thought it was silly, but I sort of got it. This you've got to explain to me. Like a midriff is going to freak everybody out. We can't
or
see.
It's going to protect you.
We can't see abs, or are they arguing?
Yeah.
Or you know what? You may have said it.
It's safety.
Is it like the NFL and they're trying to argue safety?
Yeah, I think they're going to argue safety. Yeah, I hope they don't go the footloose route. And they're like, I don't want to see midriffs and people dancing and that kind of stuff. Like, I hope they're not going that route. But, yeah, I don't even know how that is a safety issue. A guy's getting scarred on their stomachs when they – I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it at all, guys. But, yeah, the Big 12, they got bigger issues to fry at this point. Bigger
yes, thank you.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. All right, Rod, so what jumped out at you from the Texas side today? Tom Herman, four players. What do people need to know?
Okay, well, there are two things that everybody wanted to talk about, of course, when it comes to Tom Herman and what he was going to discuss, the topics at Big 12 Media Days. Number one, the quarterback situation. Then Craig Way got a chance to sit down with Tom Herman, and he said he was thrilled to death with the quarterback situation. And that kind of echoes the sentiments that I had, that you got the best quarterback situation arguably in all of the Big 12. Will Greer, yeah, he's the best quarterback in the Big 12, but Sam Ellinger's a second leading passer returning, and you got a guy that's a backup who may be a starter at this point because we don't know. That has not been determined who's going to be the starter that started 12 games for you. So when you look at it, I understand why Tom Herman's thrilled about it. He says, that he thinks both of those guys have made huge strides. He's asking Sam Ellinger to take care of the ball more, and they had to clean up some issues that Sam Ellinger had because of his injury from high school to his hand, that he had developed some bad habits. So they want to shorten his throwing motion. That's all I have to do with footwork and technique. But with, I think, Saint Rochelle, it's a much bigger task ahead of him. Tom Herman said for him, he wants him to be more of a vocal leader. He said, I want you to be more of a vocal leader. I also want you, he said, you can't be, I think the quote was, you can't be a violinist, a third violinist. You're the conductor. You can't sit back in the orchestra with everybody else. And that's something, I think that's a tougher task for Shane Rochelle, because Sam Mellinger, that seems to come natural to him. And as we all know, that's the it quality. That's what wins the locker room. That's what wins the quarterback competition.
Rod, I said earlier, I can't remember many shortstops or catchers, but maybe point guards, but definitely not quarterbacks that weren't vocal. Did you know any? I mean, can you still kick ass and be a quarterback and not be that vocal guy?
You don't have to be you don't have to be Vince Young. You don't have to fill up a room every time you get in it. But, you know, Colt McCoy wasn't necessarily that vocal, but the guys in the locker room respected him. And in the locker room, he knew how to talk to everybody and relate to everybody in the locker room. I think Shane Bouchard has that quality, too. There's no doubt about it. That is a major leaguer. The point is, Sam may have more of that. It may be natural to him. The things that Sam's got to work on is taking care of the ball. That's immaturity. That's him being a freshman. He's got to work on the throwing motion. Oh, that's because he had an injury, so we got to clean that up. Those are things I think during an offseason you can correct and that you can rectify. With Shane's issue, you're basically competing. It's an election, all right? You're going up against, you know, a guy that's really an Obama or a JFK. You're going up against a really popular figure in Sam Mellinger. Yeah. You got to win that election. That's hard to beat those guys, man. That's the reason that those guys resonate. People like their grit. They like their attitude. People like Sam Mellinger, his swagger. Everybody keeps talking about the way that he carries himself and pumps guys up. He's dancing on the sideline with Tom Herman. I didn't see Shane Rochelle dancing on the sideline with Tom Herman. I mean, those things matter.
Yeah, you're right. Rod Babers, of course, weekdays 1 to 3. He was up in Frisco covering these last couple days of Big 12 Media Days. He'll be back in the studio tomorrow recapping everything. So in addition to Texas, you had the other shade of orange with Mike Gundy today. You had Bill Snyder. You had West Virginia with Dana Holgorsen. Anything else jump out outside of Texas?
I would say that Dana Holgorsen, you know, he's always a riot. Dana Holgorsen did say that he knows that we got to grab the attention. He said that's what this thing is about. So he was really cool. Mike Gundy has trimmed down and manicured the mullet. It's still there, but it is not as it's not Roadhouse like it used to be. You know,
it's not Roadhouse.
Yeah,
okay.
It used to be serious. That is not the case anymore. And he kind of manicured that thing a little bit, so that's cool. But Texas still wins Best Hair Award for Breckenhager and for Patrick Bahe, because they were just, the locks were flowing and it just looked beautiful. It is a man, I would describe it as beautiful. I would say something else that, you know, people started talking about a lot today. You know, Baylor, the way Matt Rhule presented himself, considering the ramifications and the magnitude of the issues that Baylor's dealing with beyond football, of course, guys, we know.
Right.
You know, lives being impacted in a serious manner. He said, you know, he said all the right things. Said that Baylor's doing everything possible now. He said everything, basically presented everything from now, we're doing the right thing. He didn't even go back into the past. He's talking about the present and looking forward when things are brought up about the issues with the scandal at Baylor. So I love Matt Rhule. I think he took that job because that guy is he must have some inner fortitude. There's a deeper sense to him, because most guys who were sought after as him wouldn't have taken that job. They would have just waited it out. He took that, like Bill O'Brien to me in that Penn State thing when he took that job. There's a lot about you to take a situation on like that. So I like Matt Rhule, and I was really impressed with him too.
I was too. Yeah, he comes off as a good guy. A guy we've known for a long time, who I was surprised once I actually got to meet him and talk with him. I loved Bill Snyder. I've always said I really enjoyed talking with him. Did you get the sense that K-State thinks they may be sitting on something this year?
I know it's crazy, right? K-State might have the best offensive line coming back.
They could.
They could. You could argue that. They brought two quarterbacks, so you know, Skylar Thompson and Alex, they claim that they have two quarterbacks and they're going to be comfortable with both of them. And with Bill Snyder football, nobody doubts that he would play both of those guys throughout the season in some kind of strategic form, because that wouldn't surprise anybody with K-State. And we know the defense is going to be sound. So, once again, getting back to the initial discussion about, you know, the Big 12, to start off Big 12 Media Days. Guys, I say 6 to 7 teams could end up, you know, being in a serious conversation to win the league this year. The respect of we have for Gary Patterson and Mike Gundy, just for what they've built with those programs, they're not going to be a joke. Texas and Oklahoma and West Virginia seem to be the favorites, depending on what odds you're looking at. And then you got Texas Tech, who might, for the first time in the history of their program, have the best defense in the Big 12. I mean, that would be unheard of. That would be crazy. And then there's K-State, right? The purple kryptonite. You can't count them out. And I'll tell you something else, guys. Everybody excited about Iowa State now. They may have the best running back in the conference. They may have the best wide receiver, running back, and wide receiver combo coming back in the conference, too, because they got some really explosive talent there with Hakeem Butler out of H-Town coming in. So, yeah, there's so many uncertainties that it makes it really, really exciting. One other thing, I want to make sure I bring this up, guys, because I didn't talk about it with Tom Herman, and sorry to digress. The play-calling situation, that was also the other big topic of discussion, and Tom Herman said that no decision had been made on it. Who's going to call the plays? He also said he would do whatever's in the best interest of the University of Texas and for the offense. No sense of urgency, he said, to make a decision on that. But you get the idea that if Tim Beck, that leash is very short for Tim Beck. That if there is some issue with Tim Beck and the evolution of this offense and progression, that Tom Herman will come in and save the offense.
If Texas Tech, look. It's so wide open, there's not a lot of things that will shock me calling it right now, July 17th. But if we talk about them in December and they have the best defense in the Big 12, I'll be shocked.
Totally shocked.
I know we're hearing that, Rod. I know what you're saying, but I ain't buying that one.
In fact, Rod, you must know that when you say things like that, outside of the Texas Tech fans listening to you, you make a lot of people puke in their mouth when you do that. I just want to let you know that. There's
know
a lot
it.
Of Sooner and Longhorn
it.
Fans out there that are throwing up in their mouth when you say that.
I know it, man, and I never thought Trump would be president, so pigs might be flying somewhere, too. Crazy things are happening, man. It's 2017.
Touche.
Meeting with Trump. It's crazy things are happening all over the place.
You are right about that. Rod, safe travels home, man. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, thanks, fellas. Have a good show.
Great work from Rod, as well as Trey and Brad and Bucky and Aaron coming up at 5 and 6 o'clock. We'll talk with Aaron and Bucky, respectively. We'll check in with Trey one more time as well. Great job by all five of those guys. Also, Stu up there doing the engineering stuff as well. Great job by our crew up there at Big 12 Media Day. So thanks to Rod for that. Coming up next, we'll get you a little afternoon blitz if you want to jump in. 447-3776. We'll see what you've got to say. So go ahead and get in line for the blitz. Then Kevin's got a little one and done for you. Coming right up on the Horn.
The Blitz.
All right, let's see if we can get an afternoon blitz together. 447-3776 is that number. Here we go. First blitzer on a Tuesday. You're up.
Hey, I'm calling in to refute the rumors that Bryce Harper was cheating. He actually was roiding, but hey, who cares? This is Mark McGuire.
Oh, there you go. I did not see McGuire last night, but I did see McGuire and Sosa and Bonds in all kinds of home run derby lead up last night, and I really didn't care. Blitzer number two. No? All right, well, close the door then.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird poop.
By the way, whoever you are, sir, that called the blitz today, I want to give you a little special attention. You don't have a name, you don't have a character, but just know that I recognize your voice, and you are consistent, you clearly listen to the show, and a lot of times you have really good blitzes. So I just want to give you a little anonymous blitz guy. Whoever you are, just generic blitz dude. Just know that we appreciate you, too. Well, I appreciate you. I don't know that Kevin and Trey would ultimately appreciate you, but
I appreciate you.
I definitely do. And Brian, who's producing today, appreciates
everybody
you.
Else I have a problem with, but you,
yes.
No.
It's kind of like that guy. All right, if you're just jumping in, we've talked plenty of Big 12 Media Days. We'll keep doing that in the second half of the show. Bucky and Aaron, we're covering Big 12 Media Days yesterday morning and this morning, so we'll get, coming up, Aaron Hogan's thoughts at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, what they thought of Big 12 Media Days. Kevin's got one and done coming up, but before that, Kevin's got a little something else for you, and it's a doctor issue.
It is a doctor issue. Well, if you need a dentist, Dr. Greg Eckert is the guy to go to. 24 years of experience. He's become my dentist, such a good guy, and it's a one-stop shop. It's one of the great things about going there. It is Dr. Greg Eckert and Associates. They do specialize in tooth loss solutions, so if you have maybe one tooth, couple teeth. Some people need all their teeth either restored or replaced. That's obviously serious stuff. Get in there. They've restored over 1,000 cases. They can make this make the pain a lot less, but also more importantly, make sure that this thing is good to go for the future and that you feel good about your teeth for the future. If you just want it cosmetic work, now's the time to get in there. Free Zoom whitening for all new patients. If you mentioned Kevin on the horn talking about it, that's valued at $495. And a lot of people, it's easy right now to not think about your dental insurance, but don't forget, you need to use up all that stuff for the end of the calendar year. Now's the time to go do it. Give him a call. It's Dr. Eckert with a U if you want to check it out online, or just call him, 345-3166.
For anybody that's ever met Bucky face-to-face in the last year or so, or Eric Raines from Coke FM.
Looking good.
Fantastic grills.
Looking good.
On those two guys. All right. And thanks to Dr. Eckert. I wasn't just giving a compliment. I was connecting it to Dr. Eckert, in case you didn't know that.
Dr. Eckert's probably knowing him saying, all right, I appreciate that, but let's get back to football. Man, he's one of those guys. He, his dad, his whole family, they are all into football. They love Texas football.
They're ready to roll. 46 days away from Texas and Maryland. Let's get a little one and done here. One and done on a Tuesday.
It's one and done with Robert Sun. That's one and done with Robert Sun. That's one and done with Bob Dunson.
One and done.
And for the people who may not have committed it to memory, that's Robert Keith Dunn. Is that right?
Kevin.
The Robert Hill. His middle name is Kevin.
There you go.
Oh, I always thought it was Keith for some reason.
My parents weren't that creative.
Oh, you have his middle name.
Mm-hmm.
I love that stuff.
My mom's maiden name is my middle name.
I love that stuff in families.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually take the time to think through weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
Keith
is my uncle.
Keith that's is the uncle. I'm sorry. That's what it was. Okay.
You're close.
There it is. And yours is Kelly.
Kelly. It's my mom's maiden name.
Is the middle. That's your... Okay. Gotcha. I got to keep up with this thing.
It's ancestral in a non-way. It's not, but it sounds like it.
Yeah, right. No, I don't even know if there's a good sentence that starts with, it's incestual. Whatever's after that.
Usually not.
I don't know.
Unless you're trying to say, it just looks like it, but it's not.
Right, that's true. If you're trying to go the other way.
Trying to go the other way. I don't think I did a good job.
One and done. Brought to you by Texas Card House, Austin's premier poker club, featuring tournaments and cash games 7 days a week, starting at noon. Now with Rudy's catered in on Saturday nights. Check out the calendar at texascardhouse.com. Here's Kevin Dunn.
So as I'm watching last night, baseball, that's a good night for them. And actually, baseball has been extremely healthy on the field. If you want to look at their numbers, for them, they've been pretty good. It's not a popularity contest for me at 40, so as long as it's around, and it will be the rest of my life, I'm not Chamber of Commerce too much. But I want to make sure that young people at least understand that it's around, and if they want to get into it, they can get into it. You don't want to lose too much of the young people, just like ESPN probably don't want to lose too much of their 40 and over crowd like they are. Last night, I thought was a good night because it was fun, and one of the things I did see was some of the kids there, like Matt Kemp's sons or some of the kids that were around there that are obviously raised around baseball but are going to be that generation just like anyone is how enthralled they were with Bryce Harper and just the theatrics and the show that he put on. And if you go back and watch his bat flip after he hit it, the double flip, which we may see again, Chad, and I had to think about this as I'm seeing it. I didn't slow-mo it. That would have been weird, slow-moing the kids. They slow-moed it as they're playing, you know, going out of the broadcast. And you see the two Kemp kids and all these other kids just like, oh, my God, that's the coolest thing I think I've ever seen. They go and chase the bat. Just their eyes. I'm sure Matt Kemp heard last night, Bryce Harper's my favorite player in baseball, Daddy. I know you're hitting 330. Those type of guys can bring that young generation in. It's up to baseball, though, not to get too anal to where those kids can't even see moments like that. Because the only way they saw that moment was in an exhibition, right?
Mm-hmm.
A home run derby.
You said that was Matt Kemp's son that said that?
Matt Kemp's two sons were there. Said what?
The son said, like, they actually caught the son saying, he's my favorite player?
No, I got it into their brain. And
I'm sorry. I thought they actually.
I'm speaking for them.
I'm sorry. I thought they actually caught the kid.
I'm getting into their brain.
I see.
I'm psychoanalyzing.
I got you.
I saw them for 30 seconds on television. Now I know who they are.
That whole moment where they brought him the trophy, his two teammates bring him the trophy, he throws the bat.
The Dave Roberts situation? Let's not forget what happened this last week. Bryce Harper didn't... There's 99 games. I don't blame you guys. Bryce Harper didn't run out of a double play,
oh,
and Dave Roberts had to get on him.
Okay.
And there was a little bit of that. So that was kind of everything's pushed. We're through that. Let's go play second half baseball.
Okay. All right. I thought it was fantastic. And you brought up the point earlier. It should be brought up multiple times before next year's event. First of all, the new format has produced now. That was 221 homers last night, 18 more than they've ever had. So the timer thing is great. We talked about that yesterday. That works much more than the whole out situation. They made a great move. Can't believe they didn't think of it sooner. And then secondly, take that rule away about you have to let the ball hit the ground. That's dumb. That makes no sense.
Take every rule away.
Other than dude's got to stand behind the cage.
Yes.
And you have to stand in the batter's box. One bat, one ball. Those are the rules. You can't throw two balls at the same time. Do we agree on that?
Yes. Don't get too anal on this night when you were so idiotic on the next night for that many years.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, 14.
That's my baseball motto. That's why I'm that chamber of commerce.
That's perfect. 14 straight years of insanity is what they gave us. Yeah, if tonight is half as good as last night, they'll have a great All-Star game. That was a lot of fun. Close matchups. That's the other thing it brings is close matchups throughout the night. The Bregman thing.
You brought this up off the air. There were three or four of those type to the moment. Man, this is a good contest back and forth. The Bregman thing. Without Harper, would have been that would have been the apex.
With his teammates doing what they were doing?
It hits the top of the wall with the teammates doing that.
Verlander's on Instagram Live, hanging on every moment.
They're
of
showing
it.
Baez and Baez's.
Cole, Verlander, like the studs of that team.
Right.
Altuve, I can't remember who else it was, but the biggest names of that team were just caught up in his whole situation, and then it just broke their heart when it hit the wall. It was incredible.
I've never really liked Zach Greinke, and last night just cinched it. He's always had just that look, and even when I've heard him interviewed, I'm like, oh, man.
What did he do? I missed him.
Well, and of course, remember, he got in some brawls where there were people that really weren't happy with him in baseball. Last night, he was asked, so you're excited about the Home Run Derby? Are you going to stick around? He goes, no, I'm probably not going to stick around. He goes, it's going to be boring.
Oh.
Usually I'm an honesty guy, and sometimes that can be true, but come on, man. Like, with those guys are your colleagues there, come on.
Way to support the sport, Zach.
I know.
What are you doing, dude?
Well, and you look like a real dumbass after last night.
Yeah, absolutely. When it's that interesting.
When it's that interesting.
God, that was incredible. Man, that was fun to watch. All right, coming up, we'll check in with Big 12 Media Days, talk some football, might mix in some baseball, too, because Aaron Hogan does love his baseball. Aaron Hogan coming right up. We'll see what he thought of Tom Herman and the Texas guys today. That is coming up on The Horn.